Who are the first people who should hear your personal testimony if you're a believer? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This is the way the Scripture puts it, and calls all of us who do believe in God to openly testify before other people of that faith. We might very well ask ourselves now, to whom shall we say these things? Where shall we give our witness? And the answer is very simple. To our own folks, always there first, to our own people. There is an old saying that I'm sure you've all heard, charity begins at home. Well, it does, but so does Christian witness, and that's the way it is in the Scriptures. Yesterday we saw that the preaching of a true minister, such as in the case of John the Baptist, can turn people to Christ. And then we saw also that when they went to him and found him, saw him and found him, they could go out and win their own people, such as Andrew, who went first findeth his own brother Simon and brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to see in the portion that we have today that some people are won directly by the Lord himself. And for this we're going to be in the Gospel according to John, in the first chapter, verses 43 to the end of the chapter. We're going to see here the finding of two men. One of them was found by the Lord himself, and the other one was found by a fellow believer. This is not that I want to draw too much attention to this or press it too hard, but I just want to point out that people do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ just on their own. Someone goes to them. Someone goes to them and speaks to them and brings them. So we notice here in verse 43, we read, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me." Now the expression, the form of that verb, "would go forth into Galilee," is not too easily put into our own language, and it just implies that this was a deliberate action on his part. He planned this, and he went out that particular day. Whether or not he went out for the purpose of finding Philip, we do not know, but we do know that he went out on purpose. And findeth Philip. This is a personal action. This is person to person. The Lord Jesus and Philip. Just one and the other. One and one. And this is the way in which it happened there. And it can happen that way amongst us. Even as we do our witnessing and our teaching and our preaching, as we present the things of the gospel and have them all set up in our educational program in various ways, bringing to the minds of other people the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of God as it is set forth in Scriptures, every now and again the Lord Jesus himself will personally touch someone and bring that one to himself, even as he did Philip. He went out and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. I will be talking about this again, I know, but just now I want to emphasize that when the Lord Jesus has dealings with any of us, the first word invariably that he speaks to any of us is, Come unto me, or as in this case, follow me. I want you to notice in this verse that this was an individual matter. The Lord Jesus went out and found Philip. This is not the only time he dealt with a single person. And what I want to underscore in our thinking is that this is the unit of Christian experience. Now, it's a fine thing to say in a given case, we're going to start a Sunday school in such and such a community. Well, if you're going to have a Sunday school in such and such a community, I can tell you one thing. You're going to have that Sunday school because individual children and young people and grown persons will come to that Sunday school. In the last analysis, Tom and Dick and Harry and Mary and Jane and Elizabeth each have to make up their own mind to come to that Sunday school. And if you don't have Tom come as Tom and Dick come as Dick and Harry come as Harry and Jim come as Jim and Mary come as Mary and Elizabeth come as Elizabeth, if you don't have them come that way, you won't have a Sunday school. You can talk Sunday school all you want to and keep on writing about it and talking about it and making big words about it of one sort or another. It won't mean a thing if Tom doesn't come and Dick doesn't come and Harry doesn't come. You see what I mean? Well, the same is true with reference to the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is person to person. Remember that when Almighty God sent His Son into the world, and He had Him incarnate, He had Him incarnate as one man. He became incarnate as the Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus of Nazareth died on Calvary's cross, one man's body dying on the cross. One man, that's myself, saved by it. That's the way it goes. One for one. That's the way in which it goes. And this individual aspect is the unit of Christian experience. Now notice in verse 44 this very interesting thing. It just sounds very simple. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip was of a certain city. The name of the city was Bethsaida, and that was the city of Andrew and Peter. I wonder whether there was a connection. Now remember what it said, the Lord Jesus went out and found Philip. I wonder where He found him. I wonder if there isn't a way of saying that this was a community affair after all, that the witness can spread in the community, that when Andrew went home and found Peter and Peter found the Lord in the way in which he did, that these things would be noised around, and this is the way in which this man, Philip is brought in on the deal. The way Andrew and Peter first had been brought in, Andrew and Simon, and now Philip. In any case, this is the way in which it happened here. Now we come to verse 45, and this is the way it reads. Philip findeth Nathanael. Same expression is used over and over again. Philip findeth Nathanael. This does not mean that he met Nathanael for the first time. We do not know anything about their background, but we expect that the city of Bethsaida was not so large that in all probability Philip and Nathanael may have known each other. As a matter of fact, we have reason to think from what happens afterwards that Nathanael was a man who thought about these things, that he had ideas and perhaps problems with reference to his personal relation to God. Maybe Philip and Nathanael had talked previously, I don't know. That's often the way it happens. When you think about winning people to church, bringing people into your own congregation, having them unite with you in the church, when you think about that kind of thing, it's not an unusual thing that you will naturally turn to your own friends first. And this could very well be the case here. In any case, Philip found Nathanael and gave him his testimony, saying, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write." Then he names Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. When you see this expression here, the son of Joseph, you are not to understand from that that Philip is saying that Jesus of Nazareth was actually the son of Joseph. Let's just have it that this is the way he was known. This is the way the word was passed around. After all, he lived in that home, and he would be counted a son of Joseph, just the way if you had an adopted son in your home, they'd call him your son. And that's all that's necessary to have in mind with reference to this. But he went to him, he went to Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." I don't know how much you would be interested in this, but I'm very much impressed with the fact that he didn't come to him and say, "We have just found the most wonderful man in the community. We have just found the man that has the best attitude toward money of anybody we ever saw. We have just found the best man, the man with the best attitude toward servants of anybody that you ever saw. We have just seen the best man, or we've just heard the best man with an understanding about government and the way government ought to be run of anything you ever saw. We have just seen the man with the best plans for the community of anybody that we ever heard talk. This is the outstanding person." None of those things. Nothing about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing about the morals or about the ethics or about the ideals or about the plans or about the patterns of the Lord Jesus Christ. None of those things. "We have found him who fulfills Scripture." We have found the one that Moses and the prophets talked about. Here is the criteria then for accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and having confidence in him as the Messiah. This one fits the bill according to the scriptural picture of the Messiah. This was not an appraisal of his person and not an appraisal of his work. It was an appraisal of the fact that he fulfilled the scriptural promises and the scriptural predictions. Now in verse 46, you have the answer that is given to natural skepticism. You first of all have natural skepticism, and then the answer to it. Notice how it reads. Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" The popular feeling was that that was a community, that Galilee was a community out of which nothing good would come. Nazareth was a city, a small city, and nothing good would come of it. And so Nathanael raised an argumentative question, said, "Well, you think you find anything good come from that small town?" And Philip gave the classic answer to all natural skepticism. Come and see. No argument, an invitation to observe and witness the demonstration. Then in verses 47 to 51, you have the answer that is given to genuine doubt, if you have real doubt, as Nathanael did have. And the Lord Jesus met him. And we read that when Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." Now, Nathanael didn't believe in him, in Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael was actually skeptical. And yet the Lord Jesus recognized at once that here was an honest man. Here was a genuinely, sincerely honest man, and he talked about it in that way. And so he made the comment behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. In the course of what follows, and we won't have time now to go through it, but if you read these verses, you will see that when Nathanael said, "Whence knowest thou me?" the Lord Jesus answered and said, "When you were under the fig tree, I saw thee." What that refers to, we don't know. No reference made to it in the context. And I think it's very possible that Nathanael was having some spiritual experience one day while he was sitting in the shade under the fig tree, meditating upon these things, and may even have had prayer to God. And so the Lord Jesus said, "When you were under the fig tree, I saw thee." And this affected Nathanael and convinced him. He said, "Thou art the Son of God." Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to see and to understand the Lord Jesus as coming from Thee. And when He opens our hearts and minds before Thee, give us the grace to believe in Him. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.